You and I back together again midweek Wednesday style, January 25th, 2023 on Connecticut Today. We chatted about ongoing concerns regarding security at the Trumbull Mall. Trumbull GOP State Rep Dave Rattigliano joined us later in the show to explain new Republican concerns about recreational marijuana sales in Connecticut. And the Heritage Foundation immigration analyst Mark Morgan joined us to chat about ongoing problems at the U.S. southern border. Interesting story here, and anytime I kind of do the police blotter stuff, you know, in and about Bridgeport, Trumbull, Fairfield, even the New Haven and Hartford areas, it's sad because you're always mentioning malls, right? And you know, folks who, criminals out there, first-time criminals, repeat offenders, they kind of know that if they're going to try and jack a car or mug some woman or something like that, or a guy, for example, or steal a car, it's you know, the mall is kind of like a buffet for those guys and gals. Story here by Brian Joel and Eddie Martinez in the Connecticut Post. Trumbull officials moved to quell mall incidents after multiple fights and arrests. And yeah, Trumbull Mall has been, and all the malls usually have something going on trouble-wise. It's the nature of the beast, right? You hear a bottom of the Buckland Hills and outside Hartford there, Meriden, you hear about it, you know, Milford sometimes. Trumbull, though, seems to always be in the news. Says here town officials and reps are working with police to try and address incidents of criminal activity at the Trumbull Mall. Numerous calls for cops at the mall over the past 2 weeks, reports of youth fights, and concerns over, we talked about this last week, right? This young teen carrying a hatchet. First Selectman Vicky Tesoro, who's been here on the show, said she and Trumbull Police Chief Michael Lombardo met with mall officials Friday and called the meeting productive. She's tried to assure residents that recent incidents of fights and other disturbances don't mean the mall or town is any less safe. Well, okay, but listen, here's how you quell most of that, and it costs money. You put more cops in and around the mall, right? You make the police presence, easy to see. This is not, and again, I'm not pointing this at any particular person in Trumbull, Trumbull governance, or the mall, but to me, it's a no-brainer. Don't overthink this. People will feel safe if they see cops. I know it's expensive. There should be police at the entrance to the mall, you know, up there on the hill before you make the right or left, depending upon where you're coming from, and you go down into the parking lot and swing around to park on the backside of the mall. Should be two or three cruisers or SUVs right there with the red lights on, the blue lights on, Trumbull police, whatever. Even if you got to bring in somebody from the state police, let the people see the cops as soon as they get in the parking lot. Whether they're there just to shop, so it's a little safety there, or whether they're there to steal a car or knife someone or you know, carjack somebody. It's not hard. If you put more people there, if you give people a sense of security, they'll feel better. If you give the would-be criminals a sense of, man, there's a lot of cops here, chances are they're not going to do anything. Trumbull residents can be assured that the safety of our community is not in jeopardy and will not be in the future, Vicky Tesoro said in a Facebook post, adding the public safety is a top priority of her administration, but security at the mall remains a challenge. Well, okay. Look, I'm no expert here. Put more cops there. And in the mall, have two or three or four cops walking a beat in the mall. I know this is all expensive. Yes, to probably, and manpower too, I understand it. But that's the bottom line. You can tell people all you want about cameras this and better lighting this. The bottom line is people feel more comfortable. Businesses feel more comfortable if there is an armed presence of police. Trumbull is not the only host community dealing with multiple disturbances and fights in a mall. Milford police in September, remember this? Multiple fights involving pepper spray. That same mall has been closed in past years. Other malls have also been the site of disturbances, and including, remember this, a 2018 fight, four people arrested at Buckland Hills. A fight involving hundreds of youths, or members of society that can't act human. But while the recent spate of incidents at the mall have worried residents who have expressed their concern, the number of incidents is hard to pin down. Really? Police Lieutenant Brian Weir saying the problem is based on the nature of how case logs are recorded. Cops might show up to the mall for a report of one issue and then find whole separate incidents once they get there. Well, okay. More cops, more police, better lighting, more cops. Better lighting, more cameras, more cops. Have them in the mall. I know people don't like that when they hear that, well, our young people are just going to shop. Well, if they're just going to shop, then it should be fine. But if you want to make people feel better, if you want to quell incidents, the first thing to do is increase your level of security. I think maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. Rich in Bridgeport's with us. Rich, what's up with you?
Hey, Paulie, absolutely right. And it's not only inside the mall.
Yes.
But it's also outside the
absolutely.
Mall.
Absolutely.
Because there's certain dead zones or dark spots in their camera network. Mm-hmm. I know because my car was broken into.
Oh.
And I try to put the key in the ignition, and it's funny, the key doesn't fit because somebody tried to jimmy it with some type of metal fragment that apparently broke inside. And I was told, well, you know, there's nothing we can do. You're out of the zone of the camera. And this was several years ago.
Now, it's funny. If somebody told me that, now let's make it plain. Nobody did, Rich, but of your example, if somebody told me that, I would have come on my radio show here the next day and say, folks, here's what they told me at X and X Mall about my car safety. It's a good thing they didn't tell me that. Oh, my God.
Well, it's not a problem because I took it out of their potential business because I don't need to shop there if I don't feel safe.
Yeah.
And, you know, clearly there's a significant issue also with police staffing. You know, if Trumbull police got their pensions back, that may change a whole lot, especially with the amount of money that Trumbull spends on training police officers who then move on to other cities who, you know, have pensions and pay them and treat them a lot better. You know, Trumbull's police union, if you look online, they put a weekly post about all the work they're doing, good work, and, you know, they're
sure.
Understaffed.
So mm-hmm.
They're trying their best to
yeah.
what they have. And this is by no means a dig to, you know, Trumbull's leadership in any way. But there's a serious conversation needs to be had about police recruitment and retention. And that may start with reviewing the pension plans that are no longer offered. And again, I understand it was not taken away by the current administration, but perhaps the current administration would see it fit to, if not add it immediately, then have a serious bipartisan conversation to bring that back.
Absolutely. Rich, thank you. I do have to run, my friend. I'm backed up here. Rich, thank you. How about this? And John and Arlene, hang on. We'll get to you. In one incident on January 14th, officers were called to the Main Street Shopping Center, Trumbull Mall. Multiple reports of a large fight, ultimately leading to the arrest of three teenage girls. Really? A 13-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 15-year-old for breach of peace. They refused to leave the mall. And after they fought in the food court in the presence of shoppers. Great. The 15-year-old, according to Trumbull police, was also charged with assaulting an officer after fighting with police and spitting on a state police trooper who had been assisting with crowd control. Here you go. Hey, Mr. Producer, I know you're busy in there. Can we get the rim shot ready? All right, you ready? Are we cute? Is Rim Shot Man ready? Ready? Yeah, he's ready. All right, Mr. Rimshot Man, here we go. Ready? All three girls were later released to their guardians. All right. There you go. Big
cold-blooded dummy.
Yes, Fred, you are right, sir. Mr. Sanford has always been a sage as far as human behavior. Vicky Tesoro adding, the Trumbull police found crowds of unarmed youth who continued to come back into the mall even after being expelled and called in mutual aid from area police departments. So you're surprised sometimes that people don't go to the malls? I think malls are, listen, especially with stuff like this, why would you go there? Shop online. I'm sorry I have to say that, but you shouldn't have to take your personal safety into concern when you go to a mall. John and Shelton's with us. Hi there, John. What's up?
Hey, John. Paul, real quick. Cameras do not protect you. Mm-hmm. They just record the incident. That's it.
Yeah, they record the evidence. And, yep. Mm-hmm.
And before the pandemic, if the cops saw somebody walking around with a hoodie and a face mask, it would raise their attention. They may stop the guy. What are you doing? Nowadays, it's normal behavior.
Yeah. And
they're allowed to wear masks and hoodies, mm-hmm, and disguise themselves.
Thank you for the call, John. The cops have a rough job. I mean, how would you like to get called to a mall and you're in a food court with, I don't know, 100, 150 people there on a busy Friday or Saturday, and a fight breaks out? Oh, my God. I would not make a good police officer. I would, whatever I used on people would be the wrong thing. Group of Republicans up at the State House, some Republicans there in the General Assembly say, hey, we know the legal marijuana sales, the recreational sales are underway, albeit through the retailers that were selling the medical marijuana. But there are still things that the Republicans would like to see done. Listen, the marijuana thing is out of the barn for now, but there are still some worries regarding ancillary issues here to do with safety and packaging. And joining us right now is Trumbull Republican State Rep. Dave Rattigliano to talk about this. Dave, it's Paul here again. It's been too long. How are you?
Hello, Paul. How are you?
I'm good, Dave. So you were with some Republican members of your caucus yesterday, and from what I understand, you folks have some concerns here, even though the program is underway and some of these local retailers are going to be coming online here. What are you concerned about? What needs to be changed or stopped or fine-tuned, Dave? Give us some issues that are bothering you regarding what's going on so far with the recreational marijuana here.
So to be clear, these are caucus proposals, which means they've been approved by every member of the Republican caucus.
Mm-hmm.
Many of us have a libertarian view of the legalization of marijuana. We mainly oppose the commercialization of marijuana. We don't think it's healthy or good to have a commercial product. If people want to smoke in the privacy of their home, most of us were like, you know, live and let live. It's sort of this commercialization is going to turn into sort of like what R.J. Reynolds used to be years ago. And they're going to be marketing to kids. Some of our main issues are if marijuana in a vape form or in an oil form has almost unlimited THC, it could be up to 99% pure THC, which at that point is really as toxic as it could get.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the governor and many people have this romantic notion of pot or marijuana that it's like, you know, from Woodstock 60s, 70s or 80s, where it was 2 to 5% THC. The basic marijuana now starts at about 30%. The oils in the vapes are around 90 to 99% THC. This is a very different product.
So, Dave, and I talked to some caucus members while this whole thing was being written, and there was a long debate between judiciary and consumer protection and all this with every aspect, including, you know, some of the public efforts to help people who've been wronged. But were these kinds of concerns not included in the original bill? Was there such a rush to get this done that some of these things weren't thought of, or were they thought of and maybe not considered?
They were not considered. They were thought of. We had many concerns. The bill was rushed, a last-minute, late-night pass-through. Even though people have been talking about it for a long time, the actual bill that we ended up voting on, which is going to need years and years of modifying because it is so permissive and so poorly written that it's going to take a long time for us to straighten this out. And one of the major points we have is there's no health warnings on any of these products. There's no dosing on any of these products. All we're simply asking us is if you have an edible, say, so if you go to Massachusetts right now, and they actually have gummy bears, looks like child's candy as an edible. They tell you to nibble off a quarter, bite an ear. That's a portion. What are you talking about? That's crazy. Where is common sense saying whatever's in the package for the edible should be the dose? It should be one portion, not this nibble a quarter of the brownie, put it away. If you talk to any emergency room attendant, any EMS driver, the amount of overdoses or people that have marijuana intoxication to the point where they need medical treatment, it is skyrocketed in the state of Connecticut. The news media and everybody glorifies it. The Connecticut Post has an article every day about how great it is. We have retail marijuana sales. They don't tell the other side of the story, nor are they intellectually honest to tell the other side of the story. We're also asking for simple health warnings. Mm-hmm. You know that every bottle of liquor in the state of Connecticut warns pregnant women that it's bad for you. Every medical expert in the planet says that a pregnant person shouldn't consume marijuana. It should be on the packaging. Plain and simple.
Interesting. And the guest is Dave Rutigliano, Republican state rep from Trumbull. Dave, do I understand, too, that there is, you talked about packaging there and weaving the packaging situation in there. There's also a little bit of a worry here regarding kids and packaging, how secure that packaging is. I guess there's no uniform standard of the plastic and how it's got to be sealed and all that. Is that a concern as well?
So the legislation currently says child resistant, not child proof. The amount of children that have been poisoned by getting into these marijuana products throughout the country is up thousands of percent over the past couple of years. This is common sense stuff. We're just asking for we're not telling an adult that they can't consume marijuana. We're trying to protect kids, and we're really trying to protect the strength of these products are too strong. They're approaching hallucinogenic state. It's not really, truthfully, it's not your father's marijuana. Mm-hmm. This stuff has been so genetically modified to be so outrageously strong. Even the legislation, the Social Equity Council calls for a person called a bud tender. Yeah. I know it's silly, but that's what they're called.
That's good.
To work in every location to explain each strain of marijuana. We don't have that program yet in Connecticut. But so people walk in there, they have no idea what they're consuming. And remember, the higher the THC, the lower the CBD. The thing that they purport to be of a health benefit, CBD, goes down as THC goes up.
And yet, Dave, if I understand the pricing properly from the articles I read last week, some of the tax revenue actually goes up. Did I see that for higher amounts of THC? It's almost like the proof, the alcoholic proof on a bottle of alcohol, beer, wine, whatever. Did I see that one of the two or three taxes actually increases with the higher level THC stuff?
It may. Their tax revenue projection, which I think is obscene, by the way, we're more worried about revenue than we are about people's health. The tax revenue is going to fall far short of their projection, because every state around us is selling it. They all based it on the Colorado model, and Colorado legalized it when they were the only one in the country. That now many states have it.
All right, Dave, finally, okay, you brought up some valid things here, which I think we can all agree with. And like you say, we can be live and let live. We can be uber libertarian. If you're an adult, do what you want. Stay home. Stay off the roads. Keep it away from kids. Will you have any support on this stuff, you think, Dave, from the governor's office or maybe some concerned people, your compadres on the other side of the aisle here? What are you hearing?
There is some support for some of our proposals, and there's some that, you know, listen, I'm going to try to get done what I can get done this year. I think some of the health warnings, and I think some of the THC levels in vape and tincture, which is sort of like a tea or an oil, I think there's willing to have conversations about, because they're seeing the effects. They're seeing people are hearing about the trips to the emergency room, and there are many about these people that have just consumed far too much THC. And we think it's important. Now, some of the harder things that we can get through are some of more of the law enforcement aspects of it. The law says specifically that you could see a car driving down the road with billows of smoke coming out of it, and you are not allowed to pull it over. It is the silliest thing you've ever seen in your time. If you read this law, you would be flabbergasted about what's in it. And that is absolutely in it. You could pull somebody over.
Oh, I've heard this.
There could
yes.
be marijuana on the armrest. The kid's 18 years old. He's not legally allowed to possess it.
Yeah.
You cannot, a police officer cannot do anything about it.
I have a, Dave, I have a relative who is a police officer, and this police officer told me about that very situation, you know, pre the law, and he said when... He said when he tapped on the window, when he finally got somebody to roll down the window, he said it looked like a Steven Spielberg movie. He said eventually, yeah. the smoke cleared up, and he could see two eyes through the smoke.
And he's legally, by law, he cannot do anything about it.
Yeah,
by,
I know.
The law states that we have to have drug recognition experts. We don't have enough, right? If somebody's drunk driving, you can take a breathalyzer
sure.
and see if they're breaking the law. There is no effective test outside of a blood test to see if this person is driving impaired.
So
it makes no sense.
So finally, Dave, what have you heard? Have you heard anything from the police or public safety about these? I know we're supposed to have, what, like 5 dozen or so drug recognition experts or officers 24/7 stationed around the state. What are you hearing on that, if anything?
But we're falling far short of the required number. That's all I hear.
Interesting. Dave Ritigliano, thank you. Republican State Rep Trumbull. Dave, you got the number here, so anytime you want to hop on and give me an update, feel free. Dave, thank you.
I appreciate it. Be well.
Appreciate it. Dave Ritigliano there. There you go. All right. It's what he said. So, again, see, this is why I was joking with somebody in the office today saying, you know, you really should run for the state house or state senate. No, they would wheel me out of there. This is a perfect situation, right? I would be screaming and yelling, did we not consider any of this before we pulled the trigger on this? How do we not have a full complement of ready and qualified drug recognition experts or officers stationed around the state that supposedly we were guaranteed? All they saw is the tax revenue. And it's fine. I understand you want to decriminalize or legalize something, but they couldn't wait to get the tax revenue, and they couldn't wait to cleanse their souls of all the oppression and make this equity thing more equitable. And now there's even some controversy there. We'll get to that hopefully before we wrap up. And our next guest you have undoubtedly seen numerous times on cable television. He joined the Heritage Foundation as a visiting fellow in February of 2021 after serving as acting commissioner of Customs and Border Protection in the Trump White House. He brings 30 years of law enforcement to Heritage. Prior to joining the Heritage Foundation, he oversaw, get this folks, 60,000 employees at U.S. Customs and Border Protection. He managed a budget of over $13 billion. He served also as chief of U.S. Border Patrol in the Obama White House, acting director at one time of Immigration and Customs Enforcement. Mark Morgan joins us right here on WICC. Mark, good afternoon. It's Paul here in WICC. How are you?
Paul, appreciate it. Thanks for having me today.
And thank you so much for taking the time, Mark. Well, we saw those numbers on the weekend. December, what, 270-something thousand encounters at the southern border. Put that into perspective for us. That's the worst month ever, right?
Ever. And Paul, to also put in perspective, that's 11 months in a row of over 200,000 total encounters. And as if that's not bad enough, when you look at that, that's just 250,000 plus at our southern border. When you include nationwide encounters for the month of December, it's over 300,000. To put that in perspective, that could fill the Dallas Cowboys stadiums three times over. Not that you want to go to the Dallas Cowboys stadium, but it would, right? Three times over, just to show the magnitude of that. In the first 23 months of this administration, there have been over 6 million total encounters and gotaways in 23 months. And a part of that 6 million is 1.2 million gotaways. Those are illegal aliens that have illegally in our border and evaded apprehension, now called the United States home, because no one's on the front line. No one's doing their national security mission because they're in facilities, processing and releasing illegal aliens that have come across.
All right. So we hear, though, basically, Mark, on somewhat of a regular basis, when he is grilled by members of Congress in D.C., Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas saying, no, the border is not open. The White House says it's not open. What are we losing in the transition here, Mark? Is that posturing? Do they consider an open border something that is or isn't going on? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, let's just be honest. And I know no other way than just call balls and strikes. And let's be direct. Secretary Mayorkas and everybody in this administration, all the way to the president, said the border secure. It's just a flat-out lie. It's an absolute lie. They're actually wanting us, and they keep thinking that the more times they say it, somehow we're going to believe it. Somehow we're going to look at what we're seeing with our own eyes every single day. If you actually we're trying to get the truth in reality, you'll see what's happened to the Southwest border. Again, I'll go back to just the one stat, 1.2 million gotaways. How could you have over a million individuals break into our borders illegally and avoid apprehension and then say our borders are secure? It defies common sense. It defies logic. They know it's a lie, and they continue to lie. Because if not, Paul, I mean, they're going to have to admit they have a crisis. They're going to have to admit that it's their policies that caused it. And they're not going to do that. And what's really important, the reason why, look, this isn't about immigration. This is about border security, which is about national security. Let's just take the gotaways, for example.
Mm-hmm.
1.2 million gotaways. Well, who's among the gotaway? Because the majority of those illegally entering, they literally walk across the border, sit down, and wait for Border Patrol to be processed because they know they're going to be released, which is what they want, never be heard from again. So why do we have a gotaway? Because those are the individuals among the gotaways. Those are the criminals. Those are the murderers, the rapists, the pedophiles, the gang members, the potential national security threats. In the same 23 months, the CBP has encountered over 72,000 criminals, including 120 murderers. Now think about how many criminals got away and are among the 1.2 million. So far, they've apprehended almost 150 illegal aliens on the FBI's terror screening database. Mm-hmm. Now, how many potential terrorist illegal aliens are among the 1.2 million gotaways? This administration never talks about that.
This is all mind-numbing. Mark Morgan continues with us for a few more minutes. Mr. Morgan once served as acting commissioner of U.S. Customs and Border Protection of the Trump White House. You see him often on cable television, quoted in the news. He also worked in the Obama administration as well. Mark, I can only imagine, and to me, this is not a left or right thing, a Democrat or Republican thing. I can only imagine what the hardworking men and women that you dealt with for years and years and probably still know in Customs and Border Protection and ICE and the Border Patrol have to deal with every single day. And how do they not go on the job saying, well, I have to do my job, but do the feds really have my back? I mean, those people in those conditions, Mark, should deserve our praise to every level for what they have to deal with.
That's exactly right, Paul. And look, I agree with you. Securing our borders and giving the tools, authorities, and policy they need to do their job to protect and secure our borders shouldn't be a right or left thing, but that's what it's become. And they know that. They know that we went from the most secure border in our lifetime and that this administration removed that network of tools, authorities, and policies and intentionally unsecured the border. They know that the morale, it's the lowest it's ever been since the inception of Border Patrol in 1924. And why? Because they know they have been forced away from their enforcement duties and really relegated, these are their words, to a federal travel agency. There's a 26-year veteran that was getting ready, Paul, and like he does every morning, squaring away his uniform. He looked in the mirror and he said, the organization that I spent my entire adult life a part of, he goes, now we've become the world's largest federal smuggling operation. That's how they feel. It's why they turn their back on the secretary. It's why they have no confidence in this administration who have actually turned their backs on them. And here's why. Think about this. They know every single day they're not able to do their job that they signed up for. So every time they see and they hear about an American citizen, a 14-year-old that died from fentanyl poisoning, they hurt because they know the fentanyl came from the Southwest border. Just this week, a young woman was savagely beaten and murdered at the hands of an illegal MS-13 gang member that is snuck across our wide-open Southwest border. Border Patrol agents feel that, and they're also worried that there could be a sleeper cell planning the next terrorist attack that were among the 1.2 million gotaways that will never know. They know that's happening every day. It hurts. It affects them. And they're heroes. The fact they still get up every single day and try to do their job.
And every time somebody, usually on the right, but even some people on the progressive side, Mark, who live along the border, every time they say, hey, all these programs that we're proposing and the manpower upping, that's good. But you've got to harden the border, because if they can get through, they'll keep coming through. But, Mark, every time that's suggested, it's somehow shot down, it's poo-pooed, and no, because, you know, the border is un-Christian, it's not nice. And, Mark, what really literally makes my head explode almost is talking about hardening a border being against American values, and they always bring in that poem on the Statue of Liberty, which drives me nuts.
Yep. Look, Paul, you know what's not Christian? You know what's against our American values? Is that you have an administration that has designed a set of policies that encourages, incentivizes, and rewards the entire world to conspire with smugglers and cartels to illegally enter our border. That's what's not Christian. That's what's against American values. Because you know what that results in for those migrants? The first 23 months of this administration, Paul, more dead migrants have been found by CBP at our border than any other time in the history of our country. 1,500, more than 1,500. That doesn't include the migrants that died in Mexico, the Darien Gap, making the journey up here. More young women and children have been sexually assaulted and raped on the journey under this administration than any other previous administration. The atrocities associated with a trafficking have exponentially expanded under this administration. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to understand that when you increase the number of migrants that are making the track, the dangerous track, and illegally in this country by 600%, you're also going to increase those that are going to die, those are going to be victim of assault, and those are going to become victimized by trafficking. That's what's un-American. That's what's not Christian. But you'll never hear that from this administration, Paul.
So, Mark, where do they go here? I mean, they're getting a bit of a respite now on Title 42 from the Supreme Court, and it's important, I think, the high court speak on this. But what is there going to be? What's there for this administration to do? Or is it just going to be kind of the la-la-la here and speak no evil on this? Where are we heading on this?
Yeah, look, that's a good question. They can no longer. The fact that the president finally went in there and saw a sanitized version was really an indication that they can't stick their head in the sands and they can't pretend that we don't have a crisis on the southwest border. But their plan isn't to deter individuals. Their plan isn't to secure the border, as you suggested. Their plan isn't to do a complete reverse course in policy. Because, look, you could throw a lot more resources at it, but as long as you have policies that encourage, incentivize, and reward illegal immigration, it's going to continue. As long as we have illegal immigration, resources are going to be pulled off the front line, away from the national security mission. We're literally going to continue to hand operational control over the cartels so drugs, criminals, and potential national security threats will pour in. They're not changing any of that. Their policy doesn't do anything, doesn't address that at all. What they're going to do is they're going to mask the problem right now. And that's exactly what's happened. They're going to shift the problem from in between the borders to now the ports of entry. Like, for example, the individuals from those four countries, Nicaragua, Cuba, and Venezuela,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
and Haiti, right? Now they're going to parole them in. So they're masking their illegal activity by the unlawful use of parole. The numbers are going to stay the same. It's going to continue.
And finally, Mark Morgan, those poor people who must live in El Paso. Listen, a society can be a welcoming society, but it just boggles my mind that you see these border towns, you know, in El Paso and Eagle Pass and all these areas and all these border sectors constantly tell the federal government, we can't handle it anymore. You have to help us. And nothing is done for these people. It is just mind-boggling that here in the year 2023, we have an administration and a Congress who say, well, you know what? Go screw. You know, go figure it out yourselves. It's mind-boggling.
Yeah, Paul, look, first of all, every state is a border state. The threats coming across, the drugs, the criminal, national security threats don't stay on the border. They make their way to every town, city, and state and jeopardize our entire country's public safety and national security. But you're spot on. The border communities received the initial brunt of it. That's why you've had multiple counties in Texas declare an invasion. The first time that we've seen that in the history of our country from local communities, because every aspect of their resources, their finances, and their capabilities are overwhelmed. Their safety, their security, everything is jeopardized. Their hospitals are overrun, their public safety is overrun. The list goes on and on and on. It's unconscionable what's going. And look, this could be reversed at the end of this president's pen. He could reverse course. He could implement policies that are actually going to enforce the law, apply consequences to those that violate it, and put integrity back in the system by closing loopholes and ending catch and release. If he does that, you're going to see the numbers go down, our ability to secure our border go up, and we're moving in the right direction. They could do it. They're refusing not to.
Mark Morgan, visiting fellow border security and immigration at the Heritage Foundation. Mark, thank you for the time. It's fascinating, and we'll check with you down the road. Thank you.
You bet, Paul. Anytime.
Thanks. Take care. Folks, there you go. I mean, can you spell it out any more succinctly and expertly as Mark Morgan did? 271,000, and I know, well, they're escaping this and they're escaping that. And again, I ask this all the time when this subject comes up. I ask this all the time. Does not America, as bountiful as a country as we are, still the best place on the planet because everybody wants to come here? You don't see people emigrating to Iran, do you? Or North Korea or Russia or, frankly, many of our allies as well. But when does America have the right to say enough, stop, as we all did with our kids at one time? We love you, but stop.